Dzień dobry.
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Okay. Let's push it up a bar. Jak się masz? Oh, excellent, yeah. End of Polish lesson. Great, okay. It is good to be with you. It's been a long time, I feel, since I've stood here and preached, and I feel quite nervous this morning to be back here to do this. And I don't know if you know that for those of you that travel, there's a sign as you come out of Dover, there's a sign on the left-hand side of the road that says, drive on the left. Have you seen it? And I used to think, why are they telling me to drive on the left when I come back into the country? Of course, it's for foreigners. But I feel a bit like that this morning, that when I'm now preaching, of course, I'm with a translator. So that gives me time to think, and they even do the opening verse. But now I've got nobody here. So if anybody wants to come and stand. So I really don't know how this is going to go. It is a bit like driving on the other side of the road. So anyway, we shall see. But it is great. Let's turn to Scripture, shall we? Into Scripture. And let's see how God wants to speak to us this morning. Matthew 13. I've put this in a different format. I hope that you can read this. It's one of those things that you trial and error with. So, Matthew 13, 10 to 17. Okay. The disciples came to him, that's Jesus, and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though see and they do not see, though hear and they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be forever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, because your eyes they do see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you that many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." You know, when Jesus speaks, there are sometimes you kind of have to, it's like a lot of turns in the road, isn't it? You just feel you've got it on one level, then he turns the corner, and you try to understand. And some of this is, it's almost like it's in the negative. You know, he's saying on one hand, you need to hear, and you need to have eyes that are open to see. And then he says, but these they can't, and they won't. And yet his longing, of course, was that everybody could see and could hear. But there's something about the believer, the godly man in faith, godly woman in faith, that actually we're privileged this morning because we've all got the potential to know about the kingdom of God. And that is treasure. Scripture refers to it as treasure. And it's not to be taken lightly. And so I hope that you've got ears that are going to be open this morning, but particularly your eyesight, as you're going to see in what we're going to do this morning. But I've been recently reading a book by a guy called Christopher Luton, who actually is part of the ministry team where Abby's going. So you'll probably meet him, Abby. And he's part of the Bethel Church in America. And he's gifting his prophecy. And he's a very anointed man. And in this book, it's called The School of Prophets. And if you're one of those people that want to learn more about prophecy, I recommend this book to you. It's a really good read. It's simplified, but it's very clear. But he says this, that he said the problem with teaching people to prophesy is that they look through the lenses, their spiritual lenses, as they prophesy. And he says there's lots of problems. In other words, God can give you things, but because of the way that you perceive God will then determine how that prophecy comes. Does that make sense? So, for instance, if you feel God is judgmental all the time, guess what color your prophecy will be? And if you feel God is just all loving and nothing else, then that's what you present. And it's really made me think about what I see, how I am. What do my spiritual eyes see? And I've actually titled this, I hope you won't be offended, but the title for this morning, if you like, is If God Wore Glasses. And that's not to, you know, God obviously doesn't need glasses. Let's just make that absolutely clear. He has the most perfect eyesight, of course, because he is God. But you know that though there are times when, you know, somebody gives you their glasses in order to try and help you. Have you ever done that to somebody? No. Okay, perhaps if you don't need them, but and you put them on and you hope it'll make a difference because you've forgotten yours, but in actual fact it seems to make things worse. But I wonder if God was to give you, if God wore glasses this morning, if he did, and he gave you his, what would you see? Wouldn't it be interesting to see? It would either be really blurry because your life is cluttered up with your concept of who God is and it won't make any sense, or it will just magnify God in a most beautiful way and you will see things that will probably shock you. And so I want us to look at this morning and just examine your own hearts, really. I feel it's a bit of a heavy word. It's not meant to be like that, but as I say, as I was reading this book by Chris, I really felt God begin to challenge me and say, Paul, you know, how do you see? When, if I prophesy, do I bring what I believe God is saying? They claim that up to 75% of prophecy, incidentally, is God. Now, I don't know how people measure these statistics. I mean, how can you measure? Only God can be the measurement of that, of course. But they claim that there's something in the order of, on average, about 75%. So that leaves about a 25% error there, a margin, where you either climb in with trying to make it, wrap it into a nice box for God, or you colour it because you want it to come across in a particular way, or simply, as he says, because you have got a wrong understanding of God. So it comes through that filter. And that's quite frightening, isn't it, in a way? And yet God still chooses to use us to bring prophecy, knowing that actually we could distort. But with any of these sorts of things, you always have to look at and examine your own heart, don't you? And one of the things that I felt God challenged me on over recent days is actually that I do see people in a judgmental way at times. Now you're going to think, that's fine. Don't worry, I'm not looking at anybody specifically. I should keep my eyes shut. And God started to speak to me about that too and say, you know, that Paul, because you judge people, that's the lens of life that you then view me, because you think I'm like that too. Do you see? In other words, it swings back that way. Instead of God filtering into me his blessing of what he wants to be, I'm actually giving back to him something of what I think he should be. And if you read the passage in Matthew 7, which talks about judging, it says this, and these are really frightening words, I think, but valuable words. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, just think about that for a minute. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be used back to you. Wow. That's enough to make me think, oh, I don't want to be judging people then, because I don't want that coming back to me. But it goes on to say, why do you look at the speck of sawdust? You'll be familiar with this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pray no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and here it comes, and then you will see clearly. Do you see? We have to really be asking the Spirit of God to train our thinking, our minds, our perceptions, so that we see as God sees. Because we carry the Spirit of God within us. And that is what we reflect to other people. And I don't want people thinking that God is over judgmental. Yes, he is a judgmental God. to the degree that Scripture teaches us, you don't mess with God. But I don't want that to be out of balance. And so people think, well, this is a bit too scary. I don't want the God that you know. Let me try and demonstrate something to you, because this one, I don't know how this is going to work. Please forgive me. I'm giving you all the apologies now. But I came across something last week, and it really, in a way, stood me up about this whole thing about how I see people. And if we can put the slide up with the three guys, there we are. Now, the question I have to pose to you this morning. The question I have to pose to you this morning is, what is the connection between these three good-looking gentlemen? And there is a connection. All three own one thing in common, apart from the fact they're male. All right? And it's a very simple answer. The one on the left there, that's a very good-looking, smart guy in the bottom of the red shirt, is R.T. Kendall. A very respected pastor, now back in America, but he was at Westminster Chapel for about 25 years, Bible teacher. That's a young picture of him now. I believe he's in his 80s, but very gifted. The guy in the middle there, at the top, in his 80s. I just want you to know... I knew this was going to happen. It's just, it's loaded, isn't it? You just, okay, we'll move swiftly on. You know the guy in the middle. What about the guy on the other side? Does anybody know who he is? Go on. Yeah, do you know his name? No, okay. Guy named Brian Welsh. Okay. The common denominator with all three is that they are all believers. All believers. Now, I want you to be honest with me, okay? Having told you that information, how many of you looked at those photographs and thought the one in the middle can't possibly... No, no. How many of you thought that Brian Welsh, you had a... Be honest, if you thought, yeah, interesting, isn't it? You see, we already, that's what I'm talking about. We already put our lenses up and we view what we see. I was pleasantly shocked last week. Anne and I watched a DVD which our son had left at our house, and it's called Holy Ghost. I don't know if any of you have picked it up or seen it, but I thought we'll watch this for 10 minutes, and not because it's about the Holy Ghost, I need to assure you that's fantastic news, but just because I thought, what are they trying to achieve? Anybody that puts the title Holy Ghost, you've got to be good at what you're doing. But what they did, two pastors decided to go where God told them to go with a camera crew, all right? And these two guys... went out onto the streets, and they literally just bumped into people, started to talk to them, and asked to pray with them, with amazing results. Amazing results. Now, I know you can say, well, was the camera accurate and all the rest of it? But I need to tell you that R.T. Kendall, Heidi Baker, Bill Johnson were all part of the interview process on this film. They won't allow anything to, you know, in their name. So I knew instantly that this had got their thumbs up. And they started this interview process. Now, if we can just flick through the next pictures. This is Brian in action, okay? That's a better picture of him. But I just ought to say that actually, this is a guy that the rock band is called, a group called The Korn. I've never heard of them up to this time, but they've sold about 35 million copies of albums worldwide. And they've peaked in the top 10 of what they call the Billboard 200, which is a measurement in the States of LP sales, CD sales, dates me. But it says this, on February the 22nd, 2005, Korn's management announced that after almost 12 years, Welsh had left the group because he had chosen to follow Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and was dedicating his musical exploits to that end. And on March the 10th, 2005, he was baptized in the River Jordan. Yeah. Along with others from his church group. And to prove his faith, he actually went off on mission in India. This guy is genuine. When you see him on this film, and this is where I struggled, where you see him on the film, he's still, with all the makeup, all the dreadlocks, blah, 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 ready to perform. He's now rejoined the group. And his heart, his attitude is, I want to spread the message of Jesus Christ. What's fascinating is that his bass player, whose name I can't remember, also became a Christian. So now there's two members. And this bass player's testimony is even better. It's phenomenal how God touched this guy's life. But when they put him on this film, if we come down to the next one, next picture, okay, that's one of his things, not guilty and set free, all right? He lives his faith. Does anybody know this guy, Todd Wyatt? Okay, you may be familiar with him. Todd was a into drugs and all sorts of things, almost had his life taken from him. Someone took a shot at him. He became a Christian. And now he works with Reinhard Bonnker. Yeah. And so I know that this guy is kosher, if I can put it like that, excuse my expression, but I know that this guy is... Sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody. I know this guy is quite okay. Because I know that nobody would work with Reinhard Bonnker unless Reinhard was... Do you know what I'm saying? But my impression of this guy when I first saw him, coloured shirt, you know, what's all about? Looks like somebody from West Row, I know. But Todd was given the task. He was part of this team to go with the camera. And first he ends up in Monaco. We felt God tell him to go to Monaco. And there's a great story about a woman with a boat who he then leads to the Lord. Unbelievable. But he meets up with Brian Welsh. And he says to Brian and his bassist, look, will you be part of this? We want to film you as a Christian in action. And so they pray, they ask God what they should do, and God leads them out of this building where they are, through these doors, into this area where there are people queuing up to come into one of their concerts. And so as you can imagine the furore at this point in time, that these two guys now walk out into this crowd. And so Todd takes the reins, and he just simply says, look, we're believers, we want to pray for you. Does anybody want to know Jesus? Does anybody want healing? Well, people start to come forward. And the reason I'm telling you all of this is that because I witnessed firsthand Brian Welsh in action as a Christian. And I had to put back my judgments because he was walking the walk and not just talking the talk. And it shouldn't have taken me that far, because what I then witnessed on was an amazing healing with the guy having the leg lengthened. It was just incredible stuff to watch. You need to see this DVD. But how much of our lives are given over to prejudice? Because we think that somebody should live and walk and be like me, because I've got the answers. Now, of course, you have. But isn't it interesting how we perceive other people? And there's this world going on around us that God is touching people everywhere, whatever color, creed, whatever their telephone ring looks like, sounds like. And God is bringing people into his kingdom. And in a way, how dare we see them through our lens and judge them? That doesn't mean we don't have to be sensible with our faith. We don't have to be irresponsible, etc. But I'm discovering that my vision of God is bigger than I first thought. In fact, it's so much bigger than I first thought. And I've realized that I live in quite a middle class world in many ways, with some very nice, ordinary people. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense either, but there's a world out there where God is touching people everywhere, and God is using people powerfully. On the marriage course, one of the things that they teach on there is about listening to each other. And they say that we listen through filters. And some of those filters can be like this. Past experiences, as you can put the next one, this is fantastic, thank you. Past experiences, expectations, assumptions, attitudes, strong feelings, belief, age, and there may be others. But how many of those, if you could tick, would you say, actually, my past experience has coloured my faith walk in Jesus Christ so that I only see in a limited way? How many times have my attitudes coloured how I see people? My strong feelings, even my beliefs, I believe this, so therefore it must be right. And God has had to prize me open to see through his word. And I'm grateful for people like Paul, actually, who teach the word of God in its purity. And I hope that we present the word of God in its purity, that we dare to go in and unlock the doors that God reveals so we can see who he is. Because there are treasures, there are magnificent treasures of God waiting to be unlocked. But we can limit God because we don't go there. This, I was saying to Paul yesterday, this is such a big subject, and time is already flying by so quickly, really. And I didn't really know where to go with it, having told you, you know, given you this as almost as an introduction, but there were two things that really stood out for me where I think we've got to be particularly careful. And you may have your own ideas. God may be speaking to you now and saying, you know what, your prejudice is this, or your vision of me is too limited over here. And one of them, and I've preached on this before, but was the passage in John 1:14, which says this: the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with truth. Scripture tells us that truth sets us free. But I can tell you truth and I can hurt you. Do you see? Unless I mix it with grace. That is seeing through the lens of God. If God gave me his glasses, he would say to me, Paul, this lens would be truth, this one would be grace. If you're going to speak to somebody, be truthful, but do it in grace. Do you see what I'm trying to say? One of the other ones was actually about the love of God. Now, I'm really walking on thin ice here because I'm not disputing the love of God. The love of God is magnificent. Let me be absolutely clear. It drove Jesus to the cross so that we can be set free. But there are churches now up and down this land who have so watered down the love of God and defiled the truth that actually, and forgive me for bringing this up, but two men can come into the church and say they love each other, and because God is love, God won't mind. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The lens of God has become scratched, it's become cracked in some of these areas. And we've got a task to actually stand up and say, do you know what? I do believe that God is love, there's no question. But I also believe in a majestic, glorious, all-powerful God whose word stands undefiled. And this has got to be the measuring rod that we use to determine how we see God. And if God says, actually, I love these people with a passion, but I can't tolerate any immoral behavior, and that refers to, as Paul said last Sunday night, that's any immoral behavior. Let's stop picking on homosexuality. Let's put it into the clear light. Any immoral behavior in the word of God is wrong. So I can speak the truth with grace, and I can be loving. But then there comes a line where God says, this is how you operate. I don't know, I think it was Audrey who said some weeks ago that about people who only take the New Testament as now the only valid part of the Word of God. But you know, I will re-endorse what Audrey said, which is actually the whole of Scripture is God-breathed for instruction, for discipline, for correction. And we need to be embracing God's word in a very powerful way. Because actually, folks, our age in which we now live is becoming greyer and greyer. And I'm sorry to say it, but churches are being sucked in. And it's becoming harder and harder and harder. And you can only see that with sadly, and I'm not decrying the Church of England because I think they've got some fantastic, fantastic attitudes in worship, response. You know, it's just, they're a beautiful, beautiful people. You know what I'm trying to say. But the amount of time that they've debated some of the issues that the Bible simply says no to, because we've allowed, our lenses have got too coloured with what we see. Jesus goes as far, and at one point he even condemns, you know, the Pharisees, because they had the truth. And they were God's model for bringing the truth. But he said they, you know, because they distorted it by their rules and their adding to Scripture. In Matthew 23, it says it's like the blind leading the blind. I do not want to get to that place where I'm actually blind because my glasses don't work any longer. My spiritual eyesight is so fuzzy, it's so grey, that I've lost complete sight of where God has taken me. Romans 12. I know I'm familiar scriptures. I don't mind bringing them up, but you know I'm learning more and more. But you know, even this, I reread this, and interesting UCB. I was really blessed by this because it kind of confirmed where I was going this morning. But yesterday it said, use this passage. But it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means you surrender yourself. He's not asking you to literally die. You die to yourself, of course. But you offer yourself holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Isn't that great? God has given us the answer to how to know how to walk in his perfect will by offering ourselves as holy, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him, and to have our minds renewed. And ultimately, friends, this is where I feel I'm coming to today. Has God got access to your mind? Because this is where all of our pretenses, our prejudices, our lenses that are cracked, that all the filter finally comes through there. Is the Spirit allowed to come in and work there? Isaiah, let's just look one or two, very quickly, one or two examples. Isaiah 6, it says this, again, you'll know this, woe to me, he cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When he saw the King, he realized how sinful he was. And I guess our prayer today should be, God, I need to see the King. With my eyes, let me see the King, because that will reveal my attitudes, what I'm like, etc. The sinful person. So if sin consumes your vision, ask to see the King. If your eyes, the windows of your soul, commit are troubling you because you're seeing things, you're looking at things you shouldn't be doing, ask to see the King. Some of you may have had difficulty understanding the love of our wonderful Heavenly Father because of the way that your father was with you. I want to say, ask to see the King so you get a proper perspective. Job says the same thing. He says in 42:5, my eyes have heard of you, but now, he says, my eyes have seen you. Isn't that lovely? My eyes, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. What a wonderful place to be in, to not just have a faith, but to see the King, to live as he dictates. So what is the solution then, to ultimate solution to our problem? Well, I've alluded to it. The Word of God is our perfect lens. I want to say, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, then your lens is also cracked. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God and go on being filled with the Spirit of God. Because when the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, what he does is that he leads you into all truth. He convicts of sin. He shows you and brings you the revelation from the Word so that you can see clearly. I'm going to finish with this and come back to our first reading. Jesus replied, he said, because of the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. He says, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Who wants more and who wants an abundance? We need our eyes to see the King. Whoever does not have even what they will have will be taken from them. Do you know, I don't think God's looking to strip us of stuff. I think we do it ourselves. If your eyes don't see God as God sees you, he's not going to entrust you with things. If you're going around telling people God is a judgmental God, you know, you're going to burn him in hell and damnation, that's not very helpful, is it? It may have truth wrapped around it because there's a severe warning. Scripture tells us that about the difference between heaven and hell. But what I'm trying to get to is if you live according to what God tells you, you see God for who he is, I believe there will be an increase, an automatic increase in your life. He's going to want to use you because you talk about him in the right way. Blessed are you because your eyes, because of your eyes, because they see, but your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you that many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. Friends, we've got an enormous privilege. People like Abraham, Moses, they knew about the coming King. We now live on the other side of the cross. And actually, there's now no excuse. Now no excuse. They died for what they believed, knowing that one day a fulfillment would come. We now live in the fulfillment of the cross of Christ. And our responsibility as Christians today is a big call. It's a huge call. And it's one that says, I want to see the King. I want to walk as the King tells me to walk. I want to live as he tells me to do, to live. But my eyes have got to be so clearly focused on him that I don't distort him, that I don't do anything that will cause him to be put in a derogatory sense. And I'm honest, I occasionally do things. I think, God, that wasn't very clever of me, was it? But our eyes need to see. Just before Martin comes back, can we just stand together? I just want us to pray. And I'm going to hand back to Martin. I hope, you know, there's one of the horrible feelings of preaching is that you feel that everything is dry and it just comes across like a steam train. I really hope that God's spoken to you this morning. But let's just lift up our hearts. I feel that in a way that God's just continually looking for surrender, to surrender what we've got to him in order that he can move in. We talked this morning in our prayer meeting, the thought that came to me is that God wants to do building work in our lives. It's no good if you can't cope with the mess. If you're going to leave the builder on the front door because you can't cope with the mess, don't ring the builder. Okay? He's going to create mess. But what he does is he brings perfection and beauty. And so we need to allow him in. Father, we want to pray this morning. Lord, as our lives are laid before you, we want to pray, Lord, that we will see as you see. We will hear as you hear. Lord, I want it to be said that if I took an imaginary set of your glasses and put them on, that I would see, perhaps be shocked by what I see, but I would see as you want me to see. But Father, right now, give us eyes to see you for who you are. Lord, that in turn we will relay that to people that need you, not to be overly loving or judgmental, but to be balanced through your word, to declare something of the glory of the mighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is loving, who is all-powerful, who is not to be messed with, but is gentle and as beautiful, as wise, and all the wonderful attributes we could go on displaying, Lord, and talking about. We ask Jesus today, please, can we see the King and you be glorified and be pleased with our lives as a result. Amen. 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 Martin.